Hamner must have sensed her approach and intention, for as Saba drew near, he signed off the comlink and turned to face her. His blue eyes had gone from steely to soft, his features from dignified to weary. Saba still found it a challenge to read human faces, but it seemed to her that Hamner's expression was one of sadness and defeat, that the grim set of his jaw remained only because he was too stubborn to surrender.
"Master Sabatine," he said, acknowledging her with his usual military propriety. "An unfortunate turn of events on Blaudu Sextus."
"This one does not think so," Saba said.
She had barely replied before she sensed herself and Hamner becoming the center of attention on the platform. The Masters had witnessed their confrontations many times, and even most Jedi Knights were aware of the tension between them, so it was only to be expected that when they came together, others would watch.
"Sathias and Avinoam did well. They did what any Jedi should do."
Hamner nodded, but said,
"They also disobeyed orders, and now we have a mess on our hands. This Chev reporter, Shota, is drawing the wrong conclusion, and that is going to fan the flames of revolt along the entire galactic edge."
"And we are certain this is a bad thing?"
Saba asked.
"Perhaps the time has come for the Jedi to think of what is right, not what is convenient."
Hamner shook his head.
"Saba, we've been through this 1,000 times.
He looked past her toward the crew comet.
"Our knights are about to debark. What do you say we give them?"
"No."
The word came from behind Saba, in a voice that was both gravelly and insistent, and Barat Kel continued.
"You cannot put this off, Grandmaster. What happened on Blaudu Sextus changes everything, yes?"
Hamner shook his head.
"No,"
he said.
"I've already sent orders instructing Sathias to turn Rawl and his men over to the Blauduns for prosecution."
"You what?"
This came from Han Solo, who, along with most of the others on the landing deck, was crowding in to watch, or join, the confrontation between Saba and Hamner.
"Rawl murdered your own assistant."
"On the steps of the Jedi Temple," Kornhorn added.
"Doesn't that mean anything?"
Han continued.
"I can't believe you'd let him go like that."
Hamner's eyes began to harden again.
"I grieve for Connie every day," he said.
"And I'm as determined to see Rawl brought to justice as anyone here, but only legally." "So you turn him over to the same mugwumps who hired him?"
Han scoffed.
"That's not justice. It's a joke."
"How can it be a joke if it's not funny?"
asked a small voice down at waist height. Saba looked down and saw Emilia Solo there, looking puzzled and earnest.
"And besides, aren't Jedi supposed to obey planetary laws?"
Hamner smiled down at her.
"Out of the mouths of babes,"
he said.
"Amelia's right. If we bring Rawl back here to Coruscant, he's a problem for everyone."
"But if we leave him with the Blauduns, they have to punish him, and punish him hard, or it will look like they approve of the slaughter."
Leia nodded, then looked over at Han and Corrin.
"It's a better solution than you think."
"It keeps us from looking like we sent 2 Jedi there seeking vengeance."
Hamner shot Leia a look of gratitude, then turned toward the crew comet.
"Now that we've settled that..."
"We have settled nothing,"
Saba interrupted, purposely placing herself between Hamner and the shuttle.
"As you say, Shota's words will spark slave revolts along the entire galactic edge. The Jedi must decide how we are going to respond, and we must decide now."
Hamner closed his eyes in frustration.
"Now, Master Sabatine,"
he shook his head.
"I don't think so. It's going to take days for those fires to catch."
It is not the slaves this one thinks of,
Saba interrupted.
It is Dala.
Master Sebatine has a good point,
Kyle Katarn said.
If Chief Dala didn't see the transmission live, you can bet she's watching a replay right now.
And she'll think the same thing Shota did,
Kip Duren said, nodding.
That the Jedi have decided to take a stand against slavery.